I want Emerald, all right, for a lot of reasons. I haven't forgotten who helped Calvin hire the assassins who tried to kill me. And looking at it logically, Emerald is far more valuable to us, and a far more dangerous jumping-off point for future attacks on us. Not to mention the fact that Emerald, unlike Coruscant, falls very naturally and neatly into our sphere of trade and development. But from everything you've said, everything Benjamin's spies have told us, Hector's always been the moving force against us.
I wouldn't go quite that far, Merlin said. I'll admit he's a far more cold-blooded and ambitious sort than Norman is, though. He's an odd sort of fellow in a lot of ways, actually. At home, he's what you might think of as a benign tyrant. He won't suffer any challenge to his authority, and he's not at all averse to making that point firmly. But he gives his people genuinely good government. Don't make the mistake of thinking that he's not truly popular with his own people either, Caleb. But when it comes to foreign policy, he's a totally different man, one who's driven by ambition and sees absolutely no reason to worry about little things like morality. To be honest, I think a lot of Narman's hostility towards Karras has always been due to the fact that he's a student of history. He knows Karras has been steadily expanding in his direction for centuries, and he doesn't want to be one more swallowed-up territory. But don't ever underestimate that man. I don't think he's as naturally cold-blooded as Hector, and his ambitions have always been more modest and pragmatic, and probably more defensive in a lot of ways than Hector's. But he's capable of being as ruthlessly cold-blooded as they come, whether it's natural for him or not. And he's also a much, much more intelligent man than most people, including your father, I think, have ever given him credit for. In fact, I think in many ways, he's been gaming and manipulating Hector from the outset. I told you about that conversation he had with Pine Hollow about his post-war territorial ambitions. That was as clear and accurate an analysis of the Group of Four's actual objectives as I've ever heard. That man knew exactly what he was doing, and the fact that he didn't want to be doing it, or not at least with Hector in charge, didn't keep him from playing every angle he could find. Oh, I'm not going to take Narman lightly, I assure you. I suspect he's used that fat, indolent hedonist image to fool a lot of people. In fact, I think you're right. He did manage to fool even Father, at least to some extent, which, trust me, was not an easy thing to do. But as you just pointed out yourself, he's been reacting more defensively, at least as he sees it. And let's be fair here, he's right in our backyard. It's less than 750 miles, as the Wyvern flies, from East Cape to Erastor Bay. But it's over 5,000 miles from East Cape to Monchir, which means Narman has a legitimate interest, an inevitable legitimate interest, in the same area we're interested in. Hector doesn't. Like you say, he's in this solely out of ambition and greed. He wants our carrying trade to increase his own military power, and what he has in mind is a Coruscantian empire stretching from Taro to Chisholm.
Well, we certainly can't have a Coruscantian empire stretching from Taro to Chisholm, can we? Merlin murmured, and Caleb laughed again, this time a bit less harshly.
At least my ambitions stem from self-defense, Merlin, and if we're seriously contemplating holding off the Church, or the Group of Four, if there's any difference, we're going to need all the manpower and resources we can get our hands on. We certainly can't afford to leave the Church any powerful potential allies inside our defensive perimeter.
No, you can't do that, Merlin agreed. Which brings us back to exactly what Hector is up to. Have there been any significant changes?
No, Merlin shook his head. The only real change is that Bishop Executor Thomas has gotten off the fence and agreed to underwrite the first wave of letters of credit out of his own resources. Well, out of Archbishop Boris's resources, I suppose, if we're going to be sticklers for accuracy. But Thomas is right. There's no way the Archbishop won't back him up on this one, and Raymond is right about the Group of Four. The church may not openly fund Hector, although I'm beginning to think they're more likely to come into the open officially than we'd thought they might be. But whatever the church does, the Knights of the Temple Lands are going to be perfectly ready to underwrite as many letters of credit as Hector wants. Either Hector wins, in which case every mark would be a mark well spent from their perspective, or else Hector loses, in which case we conquer Coruscant and most of those letters of credit turn into waste paper and end up not costing them a hundredth piece. That does sound like them, Caleb said sourly, then turned back to the railing, leaning forward and propping his folded arms on it.